for that sweet dessert of your day, you've got the ice cream, the pie crust, the apples, and the sugar. What are you missing? Cinnamon. So here's your little dose of cinnamon now.
Hello, my friends, and thanks for joining me for my 10th episode of Cinnamon Chronicles, life's perspective from this 55-year-old single middle-aged woman. I gotta tell ya, it's been a fun trip so far, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the journey. But this time, we're going to talk about knees. My knees specifically, and facing knee replacement at middle age. So, without further ado, can you help me with these knees, please? When you get to the point where you're replacing body parts, that can make you feel pretty fucking old. I know it kind of hit me in the head when I started having knee problems. It started back probably maybe in about 2005, I guess. I had issues with vitamin D deficiency anyway, so I would have a lot of deep bone pain. And, you know, once I figured out what caused that, because I wasn't getting enough sunlight and I got, you know, started taking vitamin D, you know, that actually kind of turned that around, and I actually didn't think about it that much. But I did notice some issues, of course, while going through clinicals. I noticed that I wasn't quite as quick on my feet as I used to be, you know, and that happens, you know, when you go to nursing school in your fucking 40s, but, you know, still. But, you know, you kind of notice it a little bit more. And you know, I've been heavy for a while. So, again, you know, I figured eventually I would start having issues. But when I hit the floor, and, you know, when you're running a med cart as a nurse, and you've got two halls you got to cover, and you're doing a lot of walking and standing and shifting and all that kind of stuff, you know, it does wear on you. And I noticed when I first started having those pain, I'm like, man, nobody ever told me, you know, that it would be that painful. And I guess, you know, I just tried to take care of it a lot with, you know, ibuprofen and stuff like that, and that helped somewhat. And, you know, after a point, you just start blocking it out, because I really didn't, you know, I didn't really want to go on anything heavier. So, you know what, I'm like, I'm tough, I can fucking do this. So I did. What really, really started getting really bad, and I noticed big differences, was back in 2012 when I started working hospice. And even though I just had one patient, still, sometimes it can just be taxing with just one patient. And when you're having to move and shift and do all that yourself, and you're not able to shift your body weight, and your body is not able to, you know, tolerate things, you know, it does kind of wear on you after a while. But when I started going to the doctor about it, I got to tell you, that was just fucking crazy. I started noticing the pain was just ridiculous and out of control. And of course, I was under stress at the time as well, because I was caregiver for my sister. So I had to keep on going. You know, I really couldn't go down that much. And I got to noticing that walking from, you know, two blocks, I just had to really psych myself up. I'd play this song. I would play 5 minutes by Justin Timberlake and Madonna. I fucking love that song, and you can get a really good walking pace to it. It's a great song. But anyway, I would walk, and it would just hurt. And I started noticing too that when I would look at myself as I was walking, and I just noticed that my legs were starting to bow. I mean, it looked like I've been riding a fucking horse. It's like, what the hell? So when I started going to the doctor about it, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get this taken care of. I went to a doctor here in town, and of course, immediately the first thing he said to me is, you need to lose weight. It's like, I know I need to lose weight. I kind of have an issue here. I would love to move more, and I know that that's only 30% of it, but honestly, I can't move, so I get depressed, and I eat, and I can't fight it, and I've been on Weight Watchers, and it's not really helping, and you know, but he didn't really want to listen. He fucking injected my knees with some cortisone, and it's like, okay. And of course, that burns, and you know, that was okay. It only lasted for about a week or so. And then, of course, I tried to do the therapy thing and all that kind of shit and physical therapy. And I wanted, you know, I wanted water therapy. But, oh, my God, even with insurance, it was fucking ridiculous. So I'm like, okay, just toughen it out. And then finally, it just got so bad. And I had a really good friend at the time whose husband was working at a hospital down here, and he worked a lot of PRN with orthos, and I thought, man, he'll know a good ortho guy to go to. But because this doctor wanted me to lose like 20 to 30 pounds before he would even operate on me. However, the same fucker would operate on my sister, or would almost had a knee operation on my sister, who was like, her health was like in the fucking toilet, and he would so you know what, that's when you know you got to move to somewhere else, because I wasn't getting what I needed. And you got to shop around, people. That's what you got to do. Shop for doctors like you do for fucking shoes. Ask for recommendations, especially medical people. They know what they're doing. When you're dealing with orthopedics, deal with a university hospital or a really top-rated ortho man. I was fortunate enough to get Dr. Ratterman. He is the, yeah, shout out to Dr. Stephen Ratterman. He is one of the orthos for the Tampa Bay Bolts, so I was pretty freaking excited to get that appointment. First appointment, God, you guys, I had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And they were like 2 hours behind, but let me tell you, they came in, they asked me, and they're like, are you ready to go? Or, you know, you can come back. I'm like, fuck no, man. This girl's waiting. So after a very, very long wait, I did finally get in to see Dr. Ratterman, and I proceeded to present my case. Before, of course, I had to do x-rays and stuff, and of course, when you look at your x-rays, you're like, what the fuck? You look at that shit, and you're like, God, no wonder you're hurting so bad. And he looked at the x-rays, and I presented my case, and I told him, I said, you know what, I said, I know I've got a BMI. And after a long conversation with the nurse practitioner prior to him coming in, who proceeded to say, why don't you have bariatric surgery? It's like, I kind of looked at her, and I'm like, you know, I'm a big girl, but fucking hell, I knew too many people. I know too many people who've had that shit done. And it's like putting your finger in a fucking dike. I mean, you just create problems for yourself on down the line. So I was actually offended when she said that. And I believe I looked at her and told her that. I said, would you do that? I said, you know what? I said, I know that 70% of it is what you eat. I said, and 30% is exercise. I said, but you need to put yourself in my shoes for just a moment. I fucking hurt when I stand up and when I walk across the fucking room. And so I hurt. I don't take pain medicine. So unfortunately, I don't move as much. And I just happen to eat shit that I really shouldn't eat. But you know what? I'm working on getting it fixed. So once I did speak with Dr. Ratterman, he looked at me and he told me, he goes, you're not going to lose any weight with those knees. I thought those were the best words I'd ever heard in my entire life. I'm like, yes, someone finally listened. And of course, this time I said, you know what? I am not even going to wait for the surgery scheduler. I'm just going to wait. And so proceeded to schedule my first surgery. Originally, I was supposed to have it done in November, and I had all kinds of issues. I had to jump through so many hoops. I had a scare. Of course, being from the Midwest, you know, it was so funny. I went to see a pulmonologist because I had a spot on my lung. And of course, you know, my father died of lung cancer, so I was a little freaked. And when I walked in, the pulmonologist asked me, he goes, what area of the Midwest are you from? And I'd heard this, that they can always tell by the Midwesterners have histoplasmosis, like, or nodules in their lungs. My sister had one as well. But it's very common in the whole Ohio Valley region, because that's a very common place for pigeons and that kind of stuff. So I thought that was kind of freaky and fun that he knew. But I had a CT scan, and I had to go all the way to a PET scan, which is pretty fucking scary. You know, PET scans is determined is if it's a malignancy or not. And, you know, when you get to that point, you know, you're standing to attention. So originally I didn't get to go with the date I wanted to, but I was able to reschedule. So in December of 2017, I had my right knee done. He wanted to do my left knee because it was worse, but I wanted to do my right knee because I'm right leg dominant, and I know if I started with my right leg, I would be good and strong. So, of course, jumping through the hoops of that, and because my sister couldn't make it because she had dialysis and all my friends were working and family was far away, I had a friend drive me to the hospital. She dropped me off and they called her. Actually, it was my friend's, you know, her husband that actually recommended me. But she dropped me off at the hospital and I proceeded to prepare for surgery by myself. I spent a lot of time in hospitals when I was a kid, so I really wasn't that afraid of the whole surgery. You know, the whole process was just kind of cool. But it was really, really fun to actually go through and experience. But there were some freaky times. I didn't watch the pre-surgery information. But yeah, because I started to and I'm like, oh, fuck no. But, you know, because literally they go in and they break your fucking leg. So, you know, I didn't really want to watch that. It's like, you know what? That's shit I don't really need to see. And I'm going to be out and I'll worry about it all when I wake up. So, getting ready for surgery. That was an experience in its own, and I'll be right back to tell you about that after this. Growing up, I spent a lot of time in the hospital. I was a rather sickly child. I think I've probably talked about this before, but I had asthma really bad. So, I was constantly going into asthma attacks and having to spend time in the hospital. And, you know, like I said, most of my life actually was spent when I was younger in an oxygen tent, which I think, again, is why I like the white noise so much. There was something so calming about with the cool air and the noise of the oxygen flowing that kind of helped me. But anyway, I've been familiar with hospitals and, you know, I worked in hospitals before. And of course, you know, I've had a few surgeries in my day. You know, I've had a few surgeries. So, you know, I didn't really worry about surgery that much. I knew this one was going to be just a little bit more complex, but, you know, I thought I would be okay, and I really like how they did it. They've got so many more advances in pain management these days, and it's really nice to know, especially with surgical procedures. Again, they break your fucking legs, people, so you know it's going to hurt. But how they did mine, they did conscious sedation as opposed to putting me under anesthesia. What I did was I received a nerve block in my right leg prior to me going to surgery. And then once I got to surgery, I got an epidural, which was freaking amazing. Of course, anytime I go under the knife, I actually had to tell the people in the operating room, of course, when I'm sliding over to the little bitty table, like, because it's like, feels like it's only 8 inches wide. It's like, you know what? I got big boobs. So don't fucking laugh at my boobs. Or, you know, it's, a, you know, I'm like, and they just, they, you know, you got to make the best of it. And, you know, it kind of breaks the ice and people think you're hysterical and you can just move on. So I go to sleep. And everything's all hunky-dory, and, you know, I'm not really waking up that much, and it was a surgery that was later in the day, and, of course, you know, he called my, doctor called my friend Kelly and said, you know, hey, she's out, and we'd agreed that she would come up, you know, once I got into my room and make sure I got settled and everything, and I remember, you know, slowly coming out of my anesthesia, a little bit in the operating, in recovery, you know, but they don't really start waking you up too much, and, you know, again, I really didn't know what the fuck was going on. I just knew that, you know, I had something going on with my leg, and I was trying to wake up, and I'm like, you know, just get me to my room, and I remember the ride on the elevator, and the down the hall, and then they get me in my room, and the nurse comes in, and fucking shift change, so you know it's going to be challenging, you know, it's on shift change, and she's like, I'll be in a minute, and of course, you know, I feel like I've got like 10,000 blankets and shit all over me, and it's like everything just felt really heavy, and I'm of course, you know, your legs all bandaged up, and I got that cooling thing on it, and I'm like, you know, I feel like, seriously felt like I had a tree stump for a leg. I do have tree stumps for legs, but an even bigger tree stump. I felt it was just fucking huge, and I was starting to get a little restless. About that time, my friend walks in with her daughters, and I'm like, hey, I just need to get situated. Can you kind of help me get situated? And I was trying to get her daughter to help me get situated in bed. I was like, if I could just get on my side. And after a while, she's like, look at the nurse. She goes, you need to get her pain meds starting right now. You really need to get her pain meds starting right now. And she did not leave until the pain meds started. But I was a little bit agitated because I was a little bit on the delay. But let me tell you, once they get those pain meds going, you are La La Land, and girl, I put my sleep apnea machine on, and I slept like a fucking log. Of course, the next morning, they let you eat your breakfast. They bring it to you and let you eat your breakfast. But then therapy comes in, and they get you up, and they get you moving, and get you dressed, and tell you how to get dressed, and they stand you up, give you a walker, and say, let's go. And we proceed to walk down the hallway. I had to walk about 250 feet. And then I had to go up 3 stairs. And of course, as I was walking up the stairs, the left knee was grinding and popping and cracking. And they're looking at me, and it's like, yeah, it's the left. And I walked back down the stairs, walked back to my room, and they said, okay, you can go home. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're sending me home. All I had to do was stand, walk 250 feet, walk up three stairs, and I get to go home. I have to tell you, walking up the 3 stairs was a little challenging, yes, because my left knee was grinding. But the second I stood on my right leg and there was no pain except, you know, no just typical incisional pain and things like that. A little pain, yes, but stability. I had 100% stability. I have to tell you, that was the most incredible feeling in the entire universe. Leaving the hospital was also a bit of a fiasco. I ended up having to go over to my friend Kelly's, and I spent the afternoon on the couch. God bless her little girls. They or her youngest girl wanted to play games, and I played games and not as long as I could. And then I finally just had to shut my eyes because they were going to be taking me home. And, you know, I just kind of rested until that point. But getting home was a bit adventurous. It took quite a long time, needless to say. By the time I did get home, I was ready to be there. It was a bit tiring. And my first night was pretty challenging. I got home, took my pain medicines, and honestly, you do actually have to take your pain meds in those time frames to keep yourself at a pain level and to keep yourself functional. It was an excruciating amount of pain. I will not lie. It fucking hurt. But I just kept telling myself, you know, the stability actually was 100% worth it. But, first night, I'm like, oh, holy fuck, you know, my bedroom wasn't that far from my bathroom, maybe 3 or 4 feet, you know, but I had this bed that was like, I felt like Princess of the Pea. I was like up in the air, but I went, after the third time of pissing myself, and you know, I find him like, fuck this man, my sister, because she was on, you know, she had, Medicaid, and she had some, adult briefs. Girl, people, let me tell you, I wasn't too proud, man. I don't give a damn. It excuse me for having to change my clothes 50,000 times, not to mention the fucking underwear. So yes, this bitch put on adult briefs, and I'm okay with that. You know, sometimes you got to take one for the team, but it was worth it. But the funniest thing actually was the next day, because I knew that physical therapy was going to be showing up, and the funniest thing happened to me. You know, I was already, you know, I knew I had to get up, and you know, because I knew physical therapy was coming. You know, they called and said, you know, they were going to be coming that morning. And in the meantime, I'm sitting at my desk, and I wanted to get on my email because I wanted to get a hold and leave my manager. You know, I had fortunate, I had wanted to email my manager and let her know that everything was okay. I was fine. Everything turned out well. And, you know, that, but in the meantime, I get this fucking phone call, and it's this foreign guy, and, you know, back, you know, when they were having this big old scam going on with this stupid people calling and saying, you know, you owe the IRS this much taxes. First of all, I was medicated, so it wasn't a good time, and I was so fucking confused, and this guy was a total dickhead, and I'm like, seriously, dude, you want money from me, and, well, we're gonna send the sheriff out, and I'm like, you know what, go ahead, just go fucking ahead. I'm like ranting to my sister because we're both ranting and everything, and you know, like maybe 5 minutes later, the fucking doorbell rang. And it was my physical therapist. But when we opened the door and we saw it was her, my sister, we laughed hysterically about that because it scared the fuck out of both of us, and we're like, what the hell. But yeah, I just about got scammed, but luckily, yeah, I didn't fall for it. I'm like, bring it on, motherfuckers. I don't care. Just come get me. You're going to take, I don't care. At that point, you know, you just, and finally this stupid ass hung up, which I was glad, but yeah, so, I had meeting and then therapist, and you know, they do their assessments, and oh my God, they make you lay down, and you're like, okay, let's test your bend, test my bend, what the hell, let me tell you, that's the worst part, is getting your bend back, because you don't want to bend that leg, you want to keep that leg straight, but it's important for you to bend that leg. And every time you bend it, you feel like you are pulling skin. You're pulling your face down. I mean, it's not fun. It's not fun. It is painful. But you got to do it. You got to do it. And go into physical therapy. And the worst part, of course, when you don't get your bend. Well, I had the best little PT girl. She's like, I'll help you with that. So what they do is they lay you on your back and then they take your shoe off and they put my foot in a pillowcase and made me put my feet up on the wall. And I had to put my feet flat against the wall and I had to use the weight of my leg to bend. And then I had to push it back up. Let me tell you, I didn't like doing that exercise at all. That freaking... Like, wow. Let me just tell you, after that, I started getting my bend on, and yeah, but that, when they do that to you, it's like, whew, this is serious now. So, you know what? You ain't got no choice. You either bend it, or you fucking go stiff, and I definitely didn't want to go stiff. I'd gone too far to go stiff. Being off for that first surgery was a bit challenging. With me being down, of course, not as mobile, a little bit more mobile, but not really as much as I could be. And with my sister having the health issue she did, you know, we were barely getting by there for a while, but God love her. She would bring me peanut butter sandwiches and soup and drinks and just, she did such a good job of being a caretaker for me, you know, what she could do. And we muddled through it. And 8 weeks of being off work and after an additional 6 to 8 weeks of physical therapy, you know, I made it through my right knee. But I know I couldn't have done it without her, as well as a lot of support from my close friends. Of course, my born and bred friends. They were very, very helpful as well, bringing food and going to the grocery store and all that good stuff. But again, this is part one, so we got the left coming up, and I can't wait to tell you all about that. Thank you again for joining me for this episode of Cinnamon Chronicles. I am Cinnamon, and I'm glad to be back with you every week to share these stories with you and just to hear your comments. And in the next episodes or two, I'm going to be giving some updates because I'm loving the messages that people are sending. You can leave me a voice message. Just click on the information in the show notes and it'll tell you how to do that. Come see me on my Facebook page at Cinnamon Chronicles. Come see me on Instagram as well as Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. Until then, my friends, let's all keep moving forward. And we all know that is never a straight line. Enjoy the curves, but stay in your lane.